Because of Jesus' death on the cross, for their sins, they are children of God. And that is true for us, if we believe in Jesus, if we trust in his death. That's why we can call God our Father. That's why we start the Lord's Prayer with our Father when we say it every week. It's a reminder, we are his children, he is our Father. But sometimes being a child of God doesn't feel like a very good thing. People tease you. You're a bit weird, a bit different. In other countries of the world, you are killed for being a Christian. Sometimes your family don't want to know you anymore because you're a child of God. In fact, being a child of God means that you suffer. And it can feel like it will never, ever end. Now, for some of us, we know the Bible talks about a day when Jesus will come back, where there will be no more suffering, pain, tears and death. But could it not hurry up a bit? I'm struggling here. Sometimes we feel like saying, God, are we there yet?
Not yet.
And when we feel like that, wouldn't it be really easy to give up on God? Easy to ditch him. Easy to give up on the certain hope we have in Jesus. And perhaps some of you are here this morning and that's exactly how you feel. You feel like giving up because it's taking too long. You're suffering far, far too much. This passage is all about waiting. Two things are waiting this morning. The world is patiently waiting and Christians should be patiently waiting too. That's our two points. They're on the notice sheet if you want to look at them. There's not much to look at. There's eight words. But do look at them if you like. They help us as we go through this passage. And have a look at verse 19. That's where we get our first point. The world is patiently waiting. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Now, creation here means everything that God has made in the world. And Paul says creation is waiting for God's family to be revealed. But to whom? To the whole world. When Jesus returns. You see, creation is waiting for Jesus to come back. Creation is saying, are we there yet?
Not yet.
But why? There are four pieces of the world hidden in the church. Four pieces that look like the world hidden in the church. Children, it's time for search and rescue. There are four pieces, four cardboard pieces that look like the world. They're hidden in the church, and whilst you're getting those, why don't you turn to the person next to you and say hello whilst those children are getting those? Off you go and hunt. There's one. Can you stay here with it? Keep looking, keep looking. We found one. We need three more. Oh, there's two. Come and bring it to the front. Lovely. We found two, we found three, there's one more. We found four. Very, very quick. That's all we need. So children, if you'd like to sit down, adults, you'd like to finish your conversations. And this is where it gets very interesting because what I'm hoping to do is to put this world together. And what would help me is to remember how I cut it up. So let's see. I think this goes here. Can you hold that one for me? Can you hold that one down here? I think that, oh, that could be right. Amazing. Yeah, you guys are not sure you've quite got this. So if you go next to Rebecca there, then if you come down here, and unite now, can you put them as close together as you can without trapping any fingers? Does that look like the world? Yes? Happy? Do you want to give them a round of applause? And if you leave your pieces here, that's great. Thank you for those. If I lose my keys, I know which people to call. You guys are experts. Now, it didn't take much, did it, to look at this to see that the world is broken. Either because there are four pieces broke like this, or because, as you'll see from my cutting, it wasn't exactly straight. Okay, you see that? But here's the point. The world is broken. That's what that illustration was about. The world is broken. That's why it's waiting for Jesus to return. The world is waiting for Jesus to come and fix the world. A picture might come up on the screen in a moment. It's a picture of the earthquake in Nepal. It caused a lot of damage. People lost their homes, offices, schools, people in their family. And all of this is really sad. It reminds us that the world is not as it's supposed to be. It's broken in pieces. That's why we had the reading from Genesis 3 earlier. Because when Adam and Eve disobeyed God's loving rule, it wasn't just their relationship with God and their relationship with each other was affected. Their relationship with creation was too. Remember that verse? Cursed is the ground because of you, Adam and Eve. Creation's broken. So just as humans die, so animals die. That's why some species don't exist anymore. That's why there are volcanoes and earthquakes and tsunamis that cause pain and suffering. That's why disease and germs cause illness. Creation is broken. It's longing, Paul says, for the day when it will be free. It will be made new. It won't be ruined by sin anymore. Creation wants to say to God, are we nearly there yet?
Not yet.
Have a look at verse 22. In fact, it's groaning. That's why I read it like that. It's groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Now, I'm no expert in childbirth. Not really. But I'm pretty sure that when Jen was giving birth to Emma, she was quite keen for the process to be over. I've never spoken to a mother given birth, and they've said, I wish that could have lasted a little bit longer. They don't, do they? No. They're keen for the process to be over, to meet the new creation that God has made. Paul says that's exactly what creation feels like. It's desperate to be made new. Desperate to be rid of disease, disaster, and death. And amazingly, all of this is tied up with us, waiting to be made new. So that's our second point, if you're still with me. Christians are patiently waiting. You see, creation is not the only thing that's saying, are we there yet? Because we are as Christians. Have a look at verse 23. Lots of big words here, which I'm going to try my hardest to explain quickly and briefly and helpfully to you. Have a look at verse 23. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Here are some of those big words. You see, although we've become God's children, that's what adoption as sons means. And although we have the Holy Spirit living in us, that's something of what first fruits of the Spirit means. Although we're God's children, although we have the Holy Spirit inside us, we're not perfect, are we? We're not like Jesus in every way. We don't always listen to him or want to obey him. We still do things wrong every day. That's why we say the confession prayer every week, to remind ourselves we're sorry. We're sinners. We're not perfect. We are God's children, yes. We have the Holy Spirit, yes. But we're still waiting for that day when we will no longer sin, when we obey God all the time. So what are we waiting for as Christians? It's at the end of verse 23. The redemption of our bodies. We're waiting for that day when we will no longer battle with sin, because our bodies will be made new. Some of us here this morning might think we're pretty rubbish Christians. I don't do anything right. I never pray. I never read the Bible. In fact, it's a miracle that I'm even here this morning. I muck up time and time again. Take heart, Paul says, because there will be a day when you won't battle with sin anymore. We won't need to say the confession prayer in church because there'll be nothing to confess, because we won't sin anymore. But are we there yet? Not yet. But when that day comes, not only will our battle with sin be over, but our bodies will be made new. Now, I'm not going to make a generalization too much, but perhaps some of the older members of the church will be able to identify with this. Our bodies don't work the way they used to. I say our bodies because that's how I feel the day after I've played football. with the guys over on the field at kickabout. My muscles ache. I groan. I go up the stairs like this. Oh, the guys in the office can hear me probably. I'm really, really tired. And I'm only 33. My body doesn't recover the way it used to. And that's a reminder to every one of us, even if you're only six, that our bodies aren't meant to last. Whatever medicines we discover, whatever healthy food we eat, whether you have 5 veg or 8 veg or 26 vegetables a week, our bodies will die. It's not a nice thing to think about, is it? And for some of us standing or sitting here this morning, a new body can't come quick enough, can it? For years and years we've been saying, are we there yet? Not yet. The sure and certain hope we have as Christians is that when Jesus comes back, we will have a body that never wears out, that's never tempted by sin, that will never suffer. And it might sound too good to be true, but that's the hope we have if we trust in Jesus. Now have a look at that hope. It's verse 24. It's the last bit we're going to look at. Have a look at verse 24. It's this hope we were saved. Now it's not the kind of hope that we think when we say, I hope we're having roast chicken for Sunday lunch. It's not that kind of hope. It's sure and certain and will happen. Why? Have a look at that little verse again, verse 24. Look at this word were. For in this hope, we were saved. It's already happened. It's not something in the future. We've already been saved. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid the price so that we could have a new body. That's why it's a sure, certain hope. 100%. I wonder if that's where your hope is.